Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
So proud of you, and let me tell you what I'm about to do. I know I act the fool, but I promise you I'm going back to school. I appreciate what you allow for me, and I just want you to be proud.
I want to tell the whole world about a friend of mine, this little light of mine. I'm finna let
1010 now on WGN. Thank you, Veronica Carter. This is John Williams.
I'm finna talk about my mama.
Producer Griff said, let's do a Mother's Day song with Kanye.
When I moved to the shy late December, Hart's winner gave me a call.
Not a bad choice. Another way to slice the cat, as I like to say.
He did say that.
I'm glad that I'm not the only one that heard it, because I'm not only famous for misspeaking but mishearing, and I thought, no, I'm pretty sure he said slice the cat.
I just got this gruesome picture in my head when he said it. That's why I remember it.
Well, me too, and I'm amazed that none of us, or at least that I wasn't able to pick up the reference. Griffin has a colleague who often uses the phrase skin the cat, so it's fresher to his ears, but he knew what he meant. We all knew what he meant. It just sounded kind of funny. That's another way to slice the cat. You're going to use that at your news station? Drop that in the drop that in the news over there at the enemy news station, okay?
I'll do that. Just see what happens.
If you hadn't heard, WGN Radio announced that Veronica Carter is going to be leaving us after a couple of years. We're going to miss her. She's going to do a great job at one of the competing news stations in town. I want you to do this, though. I'm Veronica Carter. Time for the nose.
Oh, that would be
fun. Use a bad voice.
I don't know that there's such a sense of humor where I'm going as there is here, though. So.
CBS, yeah. Get all Gilbert Gottfried on him. It's time for the nose.
It's a little different atmosphere.
Your replacement, I don't know if you know, is going to be a young man named Dometi Pongo. How can you not be interested in meeting somebody named Dometi Pongo?
No kidding.
Now, that's a name. Yeah, I'm interested in this because my real name isn't John Williams. You know, I have one of those Vitches names. It's ethnic. It's East European. And early in my career, the bosses said, you got to change your name because your name's too complicated. And wanting the job, which they said comes with a name change, I changed my name. And then for most of my career, this was when I was 23, for most of my career now, I've known myself as well as John Williams is for my real name. And then over my career, I get to work with people, and this is just a couple names I wrote down of people who I've worked with currently or in the past, Dometi Pongo, Telly Mamayak, and Rashini Rajkumar.
It is completely different than when we first got into the business, because everybody was forced to have usually two first names.
Right. Right, right.
You know, Don Clark.
Wally Phillips.
Exactly.
Roy Leonard. Some of them are their real names. In fact, I said, how about if I be Phillips? I had been an intern for Wally Phillips. I said, how about if I be Phillips? They go, no, we've already got a Phillips. Pick another name.
It's like almost like we were going to offend people with our name.
That's it. They go, well, first of all, your last name ends in a Vitch. They're going to say instead of Vitch, they're going to say B-I-T-C-H. I go, well, what'll we do?
I've been called worse.
Well, what'll we do?
I know that all too well, unfortunately. That was like second, third, fourth grade.
Oh, my God, I'm working with a Sam Panionovich. What am I talking about?
Don't mind me.
Well, in fact, what's... who does traffic for us here?
Violetta Podramatic.
Violetta Podramatic. I only recently learned to say that. I'd hear it on the air all the time and go, oh, I can't do that. Violetta Podramatic, Sam Panionovich, Rashini Rajkumar, Telly Mamayak, and now Dometi Pongo.
Well, and on the opposite end, here's Lou, Mr. Fix-It, trying to force our sports guy to change his name because it was too easy, too simple.
I know. It sounds too made up. Sam.
No, this was Joe Brand.
Joe Brand. He didn't like that.
He didn't like Joe Brand.
He wanted. I think we finally settled on Joseph Brand, just to make Lou happy.
I said he should say Joe Brandini.
Well, there was a couple. Who was it? I don't know if it was on. It must have been somebody off the air. But a staff member here thought that Lou's last name was Fredini, and that everybody was going around going, Lou the man, Fredini.
Ah, that's kind of classic.
Who's the man, you know, making some coffee, the water cooler guy. He's the man. He's Fredini.
Lou just walked in, and I said, we're talking about you.
Stop. I'm going to hug her.
He's hugging
I'm
me.
I'm hugging her.
Veronica
you don't get
Carter's
to hug her. I get to hug her.
Bye, Lou.
Sam, was it Sam that brought in the, or did Bob come in early? But my understanding is that there are mimosas in the newsroom.
That was Ferg.
Oh, Bob Ferguson did that?
Yeah,
our engineer.
Yeah,
boy, Fergie. Veronica, nice job, and we wish you nothing but the best where you're going. And we'll continue to soldier on here. By the way, Bob Kester will be doing some of the news on Sundays as well. That's good news for Bob, and it's good news for our listeners. It's 10:15. I'm going to pause here. We have decidedly not talked politics much on this Saturday morning show, and today will be no exception. We're not going to get into it, though I do have a couple of political sound bites to play for you, all of which will then get us to a lovely place on this, not only Mother's Day, but on a weekend where there are a lot of graduation ceremonies and speeches. And I'll make sense of all of this in a minute on WGN. It's 10:19. Even for a president famous for his tweets, the president made some famous tweets this week, and here's just a couple of them. President Trump tweeted, James Comey better hope that there are no tapes of our conversations before he starts leaking to the press. Not exactly sure what that means. Nobody seems to be exactly sure what that means. He also tweeted, maybe the best thing to do would be to cancel all future press briefings and hand out written responses for the sake of accuracy. And he tweeted, as a very active president with lots of things happening, it is not possible for my surrogates to stand at the podium with perfect accuracy. I counted over about 24 hours in short bursts, often as early as 5 in the morning. The president this week tweeted that the media is fake, there's no collusion with the Russians, the Democrats are still mad about losing the election. He tweeted a picture of himself with Russian officials. He noted that we're selling more beef to the Chinese, and then he retweeted Rosie O'Donnell. Poor Sean Spicer, if you ask me anyway, is a very... Poor Sean Spicer, because he has to stand there and represent the president. A political story in the New York Times this morning is headlined, Looking Like a Liar or a Fool, What It Means to Work for Trump. Here is how the question and answer portion of Sean Spicer's press briefing yesterday began.
Did President Trump record his conversations with former FBI Director Comey?
I assume you're referring to the tweet, and I've talked to the president. The president has nothing further to add on that.
Why did he say that? Why did he tweet that? What should we interpret from that?
As I mentioned, the president has nothing further to add on that.
Are there recording devices in the Oval Office or in the residence?
As I said for the third time, there is nothing further to add on that.
Does he think it's appropriate to threaten someone like Mr. Comey not to speak?
I don't think that's not a threat. He's simply stated a fact.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens later today, because the president is scheduled to give his first commencement address at Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia. He's going to address, I guess, about 18,000 graduates. Fox News quotes Liberty President Jerry Falwell Jr. as saying, I really don't think any other president has done more for evangelicals in the faith community in 4 months than President Trump has. And in fact, according to the New York Times, a recent Pew Research Center survey found 3/4 of white evangelicals approved of his performance, while just 39% of the general public held the same view. So he will probably get a better reception than Betsy DeVos did. That was Betsy DeVos speaking at Bethune-Cookman. They never really quieted down, and Governor Rauner got this kind of a reception.
The governor of Illinois, Lou Ceramic.
So my advice to the president would be for your speech today, sir, to not trash the media or Hillary or James Comey or Democrats, just give a short speech of hope and vision. Give the traditional graduation speech, and don't go off script. Don't disparage your detractors, even as you think you are in the right. When in doubt, writing a graduation speech, I think we should all defer to the great Mary Schmeek, who 20 years ago, this graduation season, it was early in June of 1997 that she imagined a speech to graduates that went in part like this.
Ladies and gentlemen of the class of 97, wear sunscreen. If I could offer you only one tip for the future, sunscreen would be it. The long-term benefits of sunscreen have been proved by scientists, whereas the rest of my advice has no basis more reliable than my own meandering experience. I will dispense this advice now. Enjoy the power and beauty of your youth. Oh, never mind. You will not understand the power and beauty of your youth until they've faded. But trust me, in 20 years, you'll look back at photos of yourself and recall in a way you can't grasp now how much possibility lay before you and how fabulous you really looked. You are not as fat as you imagine. Don't worry about the future, or worry, but know that worrying is as effective as trying to solve an algebra equation by chewing bubblegum. The real troubles in your life are apt to be things that never crossed your worried mind, the kind that blindsides you at 4 p.m. on some idle Tuesday. Do one thing every day that scares you. Sing. Don't be reckless with other people's hearts. Don't put up with people who are reckless with yours. Floss. Don't waste your time on jealousy. Sometimes you're ahead, sometimes you're behind. The race is long, and in the end, it's only with yourself. Remember compliments you receive. Forget the insults. If you succeed in doing this, tell me how. Keep your old love letters. Throw away your old bank statements. Stretch. Don't feel guilty if you don't know what you want to do with your life. The most interesting people I know didn't know at 22 what they wanted to do with their lives. Some of the most interesting 40-year-olds I know still don't. Get plenty of calcium. Be kind to your knees. You'll miss them when they're gone. Maybe you'll marry. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll have children, maybe you won't. Maybe you'll divorce at 40. Maybe you'll dance the funky chicken on your 75th wedding anniversary. Whatever you do, don't congratulate yourself too much, or berate yourself either. Your choices are half chance. So are everybody else's. Enjoy your body. Use it every way you can. Don't be afraid of it or what other people think of it. It's the greatest instrument you'll ever own. Dance. Even if you have nowhere to do it but in your own living room. Read the directions, even if you don't follow them. Do not read beauty magazines. They will only make you feel ugly.
Well put. Boz Luhrmann, Mary Schmeek's imagined graduation speech goes another, oh, I don't know, 4 minutes. It's really good. It's longer than I have time. But isn't that just positively lovely? And isn't every word of it true? She wrote that 20 years ago, in early June, 20 years ago, early June of 97. So we're nearing the anniversary of that. And as the president was maybe putting the last polishing touches on his speech today, I just wanted to lob that out there. Griffin gave me George Saunders' graduation speech. If you got a chance and want to look up, listen, or read something that's really good, do that one too. It's 1027. News around the corner. This is WGN.
If it's magic.
Thank you, Veronica. 1035.
Why can't we make it everlasting?
Stevie Wonder celebrates a birthday today. How old is he?
Like the lifetime of the sun.
55?
55. Higher, higher.
70.
Lower. 67. 67. You know, he still sounds really good. This, of course, wasn't him yesterday, but when you hear him, I think Stevie can still sing. 67. People outside our showcase studio window are pantomiming the playing of the harp. And I'll do the harmonica. It's 10:36. By the way, I have one thing to say before we talk with Kelly Freeze, who's all about TV. The playoffs are too long. Will you just validate that for me? We don't need seven games for all of these NBA playoffs. Am I right about that, Sam Panionovich?
You could cut it to five. You could cut it to three, ideally. And Cleveland, who hasn't played in 9 days, they won't play until Wednesday.
That's an interesting point, yeah. Because then if somebody runs the table, they sit around while some of these things drag out. And really, they just haven't been that interesting. I know that Washington and Boston are now at seven games, but I wouldn't even call that a really interesting series.
How many did you watch out of six?
Of the six they played so far, four.
You watched four?
Yeah, I like the Celtics. I like Brad Stevens, but still, really.
Oh, well, it's Butler. Just, okay, that
yeah,
makes sense.
Yeah, right. But come on. All right, that's my complaint for the day.
Too I'm long, I agree. You know, the final won't happen until mid-June.
I know. There's that, too. The NHL has that problem as well, but whatever. It's 10:37. Kelly Freeze joins us. She has joined us before from Channel Guide Magazine and TVInsider.com. And I believe we've inconvenienced her a little bit, so I really appreciate you giving us some of your time today. Kelly, how are you?
I'm great, John. It's never an inconvenience to talk with you about TV. It's, you know, it's my favorite thing to talk about.
Yeah, but you're in the break room at a hair salon, right?
That is correct. I am getting a haircut. My Mother's Day treat to myself.
Nicely done, Kelly. So I see from a variety of sources now that there's a bunch of shows. In fact, more than 20 broadcast TV shows are going to get the axe. I want to bounce a few of them off of you and then ask you about some things in the pipeline, okay?
Absolutely. Let's go.
ABC's American Crime. That was supposed to be a pretty good show, right?
It was an amazing show. You know, it came from John Ridley. You know, kind of a localish director. He's actually from the Milwaukee area, and it's an anthology. So each season they would really get into a crime. The first season it was, I don't even know how to describe it. It was like a military slash race related crime. The second season it was more within a school district, and it was an amazing cast. You know, of veteran actors, Felicity Huffman, and
right.
The show got a lot of Emmy Awards. But I think what ABC has realized is that you can do an anthology with really any group of people. You don't need to bring back an ensemble again and again, which might get a little expensive. But I'm sad to see that one go.
I was surprised to see Two Broke Girls go from CBS.
You were surprised. I was not surprised. I was always shocked that that show was still on TV.
Well, may I say this? I really like that show. However, I never watched a full episode. But as I have the unique ability to review movies and shows based on their trailers and their promos, I thought that it always looked funny. I loved the look of the girls, and it always seemed to be, I got the shtick. It just struck me as being kind of a funny show. Maybe the goods weren't there, huh?
Well, you know what? I mean, it was on for six seasons, and I think you're right when you say it was a lot of shtick. You know, I think that it fit well in CBS's comedy, kind of very broad comedies, but I liked the girls. So they're both very talented actresses, but I never really understood how, once you got past the initial, like, here's the setup of the story, where it was going to go. So I watched the pilot, thought, this will be on for 5 minutes, and I was definitely proven wrong.
On Fox, we say goodbye to Pitch. I'll read the description of it here. This series from the creator of This Is Us starred Kylie Bunbury as Major League Baseball's first female player. I remember that when it came out. I didn't watch this show, but I thought, you've got to be kidding me. This is preposterous.
I know. And, you know, I wanted it to work just because I love baseball. My sister worked in Major League Baseball for over a decade. So, of course, I love to find any way that women can be involved in professional sports. And it came from Dan Fogelman, who I love with This Is Us. But it just failed because they, from the get-go, you knew, like, oh, Kylie's character is going to fall in love with this catcher player. And there's going to be all these very broad archetypes. Male players are going to hate her, and it was done wrong, and it's too bad because Major League Baseball really, you know, supported this show, and I'm not surprised it's gone after one season, though, as much as I wanted it to do well.
A friend of mine is a really big fan of the TV show where there's a guy who is I think Major League Baseball announcer. He had a meltdown on the air. He sort of stumbled.
Oh, with Hank Azaria.
Yeah. And he said that's just terrific. He then goes on to like Japan and he's doing cockfights. And then to save his career and maybe her team, a woman hires him to be the announcer for a minor league team. Brockmire, I think, is it? And
yes.
I want to catch up on that show because I love that description. And I hear it's just dynamite.
Well, Hank Azaria is dynamite in everything he does. I mean, he's a really versatile actor. And, yeah, Brockmire, when we got the press kit, they actually sent a talking bobblehead. And the things that it would say were very not safe for work. So
yeah.
It's definitely, if you like kind of bawdy, loud, sporty,
right.
You know, I mean, it definitely reminds me of like an 80s sports movie.
Well, I heard that it's profane in more than one place, which doesn't scare me off, but there's a lot of that out there. What else caught your eye or ear? I mean, what else are you waving goodbye to maybe fondly, Kelly?
Fondly? Oh, that's hard.
Okay, skip that then. What are you glad to see go? How about that?
Well, you know, I did not realize that Last Man Standing on ABC was still on. That was starring Tim Allen. It was actually kind of a dinosaur in the fact that it was a multi-camera family comedy. TV just isn't made like that anymore. And I think it's really one of the last relics of that show.
That was on almost as long as Home Improvement. I mean, that thing had talk about a run.
Exactly. And it was probably the quietest six-season sitcom, I think, in television right now. A couple shows, you know, there was a lot of shows that were canceled. And I thought, yeah, that should have been canceled. But then looking ahead at some of the shows that networks are bringing back, you know, that they're starting to release for the upfront presentations. It's like the same incarnation coming on a different network.
Yeah, well,
I don't know if you
finish that thought.
I don't know if you saw that, you know, there was a show that was on Fox called APB, which filmed in Chicago about a tech billionaire who took over a police precinct and kind of was using a crowdsourcing app to help solve crimes. Well, there's going to be a very similar show about a tech billionaire who's using kind of a crowdsourcing type app to help solve crimes on a different network. So if you're sad that your favorite show is being canceled, it may be coming back in a slightly different spin on a different network.
Well, I wonder if it's hard for TV shows to make a big splash on the major broadcast networks anymore. Anyway, seems to me like the shows we're all talking about are on FX or Showtime or HBO, that sort of thing. Those are the ones that seem to
You're
get most of the buzz.
Right.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. And I think it's because the way we watch television has changed. We're no longer sitting down on Tuesdays at 9 o'clock to watch 22 original episodes. We're DVRing it. We're watching them in batches. We don't want to watch 22 hours of a TV story. We want to watch 10 really riveting, really well put together episodes.
I have a couple questions about things that might be coming down the road, and you may have a question too. My number is 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Kelly Freeze is going to delay her blow dry for just a couple more minutes. So if you want to jump in and ask about a show or a series, this is your chance. 312-981-7200 WGN. All of our lines are ringing. Kelly, thanks for joining us. Will you just take a couple calls from some of our listeners here? Hold on a second.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
All right. So I'll put you on hold or on lock, and we'll go to Pam. You're on WGN. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Jane. How are you today?
Good. What can we do for you? What's your question?
My question is, do you know if Big Little Lies is going to have a season 2 on HBO? Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but now I don't hear her. Hey, Kelly, are you there?
Oh, I am here. So Big Little Lies, I think that they've announced a second season. That show was so amazing. I mean, what an amazing cast, and I think a lot of people have liked it. HBO is just so smart with what they're putting on TV right now. They're really producing stuff that people want to watch, and they're smartly, like I said, putting together things that are short enough that you can catch it and want more.
So while they're teasing a second season, it's not officially been announced that they're going to but I don't know why they would tease for a second season if it wasn't going to come back.
I think they've announced it, but I don't think that, you know, they're filming it right now or anything. You know, I think Nicole Kidman right now has Top of the Lake, which the second season, which is coming out. So I think that, you know, everyone might be busy. They've just got to schedule that.
Okay, but stay tuned. Thanks, Pam. This is David. You're on WGN. David, what's your question or comment? Hi.
Hi. Well, it just got confirmed the Leftovers is done after season three, which is very unsettling. I love that show. But I wanted to hear, do you hear any rumblings about the new show Legion? Are people really getting into it? And also the show Outcast, if you're familiar with that.
No, Legion, is that the FX show that you're talking about?
Yeah, you know, Griffin just looked it up. Legion will have a season two, so Legion is coming back. And what's okay. Outcast? What's Outcast about, David? I don't know that show.
Outcast is very interesting, and I stream a lot of shows after the fact, and it's an America drama series. I can't recall the network, sorry.
It's on Cinemax, I think.
Yeah.
Cinemax, yeah. It is about a small town where there is demons trying to merge with the humans, and one in particular individual has the power to touch these demons and basically exorcise them. And it's really interesting. It's very dark, but it's a very interesting show.
I'm pretty sure Outcast is coming back in June. I'm pretty sure there might be a second season in early June.
Got it. Second season, maybe early June.
Third, maybe?
David, thanks for the call. I'm going to pick up another line here before we run out of time. By the way, do you watch Silicon Valley, Kelly?
You know, I don't, and it's too bad because my brother lives out in the Bay Area and is a total Silicon Valley kind of kid. But it's just there's so much TV to watch. I have to limit myself to 23 hours of TV a day.
You need to take something off your shelf and put that on there. I don't think I've enjoyed a show more than Silicon Valley. And I'm not a geek. I'm not a web guy. I don't know about stuff like I know a tiny bit about stuff like that. But that's not the appeal. It's the characters. It's the writing. It's the cussing. It's the storyline. It's very funny. It's really a good show. Don't you hate it when people tell you you've got to watch their show?
You know, no, I love that because, you know, I just like a lot of people, I do a lot of my TV watching in binges. So, you know, when I finish a show, I'm always looking for something that's new. And, you know, I really like Mike Judge. So I will certainly catch it up. And, you know, I do like a lot of the characters that are in that show. It's just, you know, you have to create a list. And I think everyone's got their list.
Oh, yeah. Silicon Valley is the one I just mentioned. But let's take Bonnie real quick here. Hey, Bonnie, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hi, thank you. I wanted to know what show Kelly's most excited for.
Yeah, give us something to look forward to, Kelly.
Ooh, next Saturday, set your DVR. HBO has a new movie miniseries called Wizard of Lies, starring Robert De Niro as Bernie Madoff. It's an amazing show. Robert De Niro, really, I could not believe when I saw the pictures of him as Bernie Madoff. You know, Robert De Niro is such a great method actor, and he really embodies the characters. And, you know, one of our writers, Lori Atkin, had a chance to sit down with Robert De Niro and was just in awe, and the series looks amazing. I mean, again, HBO is going to hit another home run with a great show.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by that. I've seen the trailers. Isn't that Michelle Pfeiffer who plays his wife,
yes.
Ruth?
Yes, and Michelle Pfeiffer.
She looks...
Lucy Robb is in it.
Yeah. You're right, though. When I saw that, I thought, bam, that's Bernie Madoff. And you go, no, it can't be Bernie Madoff. I read that book and interviewed the woman that wrote it, Wizard of Lies, and she's going to join us this week to talk about it because I think there's going to be a lot of buzz about this. It looks really, really good.
Yeah, and it's directed by Barry Levinson. So, you know that this show, you should catch it now because come award season, I guarantee that this show will be up for a lot of awards.
Something to look forward to. Okay, lots of questions and calls for you. I've got about 3 more minutes. Anything else you want to throw out there, Kelly? Something you're looking forward to?
If you're looking for something that's a little sweet, if you're a pet owner like I am, on Wednesday on ABC is the preview of a show called Downward Dog. It's Fargo's Allison Pullman, and it's basically the relationship she has with her dog, but kind of narrated by her dog. And I know it's not like Mr. Ed where, you know, he's talking to everyone. He's kind of confessing his most innermost doggy thoughts to the camera. And it's just really sweet. I don't know. I have a dog, and I, more than anything, would love to know what he's thinking. So to kind of get a peek into the pathos of a dog, you know, it's very brave. You know,
yeah, brave is a good word, because I'm not in your description. Does nothing for me. I'm not going to watch this show. This is a show where the dog is talking to us, his innermost doggy thoughts.
Yes, innermost doggy thoughts. It's a sneak peek on the 17th, and then it's going to move to Tuesdays at 8 p.m. It's, you know, it's sweet. I watched it. I did laugh. I did cry. And then I see my dog a lot. But I'm a little, maybe sometimes you need a little cheesy.
Actually, I think right now a show where the dog is just looking at you and talking to you is probably just what this country needs right now.
Exactly. It's kind of, sometimes you need that. Also, something that's a little bizarre, also on Wednesday, E is bringing back a really small show called Hollywood Medium with Tyler Henry. But I'm pretty sure it's the first episode. They sit down with Alan Thicke, and Tyler Henry, you know, gets messages from beyond. And I think this was back, you know, this is shortly before Alan Thicke passed away. And Tyler Henry said, I'm getting a message from a family member who passed away from a heart condition. They're urging you to get your heart checked. And Alan Thicke kind of rolled his eyes and said, oh, okay, that's good. And then lo and behold, Alan Thicke died of, you know, like a ruptured aorta or something shortly thereafter. So, you know, Alan Thicke's family has encouraged them to release this.
Just wait a minute. You're saying, you're telling me this happened in fact, or was that just a role he was playing on a show?
This is an actual fact.
Oh, my gosh.
No. Yeah. So Tyler Henry sits down with celebrities and, you know, brings across people from beyond. I don't know if you believe in this or not, but the fact that Tyler Henry brought an urging to have his heart checked out to Alan Thicke shortly before he died of a tragic heart condition that was unbeknownst to anyone is very, you know.
So they taped this and they actually predicted it, and the family is okay with them releasing it. So we'll see Alan Thicke before he died here, right?
Yes. His wife, Tanya, thinks it's important. You know, this was something that Alan was curious about, and the fact that this kind of came true, I think she thinks is really important and an important way for him to honor his legacy, because I think she thought that he had got a lot of comfort knowing that he had family members on the other side.
Really?
So,
he was into that. I had no idea. How would I know? But I didn't know.
Whether or not he's like into it, I think it might have been he was open to it. And the messages that he gets, I guess, are positive enough for her to find comfort in knowing that life doesn't end once it does on Earth. So, you know, just something kind of out there, if that's your thing.
Kelly Freeze writes for Channel Guide Magazine and TVInsider.com. She's in the break room at a hair salon in California, and she made time for us this morning. I owe you, Kelly. Thanks for your visit today.
Anytime.
You can read her online. It's 10:57. The news is around the corner on WGN. Got a little Stevie Wonder on my mind today. It's his birthday, and the mother of my children really likes this song. So happy Mother's Day to Brenda. Speaking of Mother's Day, there's Steve Alexander, who does news and business for us here on WGN Radio at times, was in the studio in the last segment with mom and her two young adult daughters. They look like they were in their early to mid-20s. And the three of them had surprised the mom, that is Steve Alexander and the two girls, had surprised their mother with a visit to the radio station and a chance to say hello and watch us talk on the radio. They're all big WGN radio fans. I say all of that to say this. It was so nice to see the two daughters and the mom interact, so enjoy each other's company, be so nice to each other, so friendly. And I hope you have a relationship like that with your kids or your mom. But when you just see it bubble up, and they were all so sweet and positive, I just thought, oh, what a nice thing for you all to have, that relationship. And it was probably strained at times because all, you know, sons and daughters at some point have had problems with their moms and dads. But boy, they sure were the perfect little family there. And it was just nice to be in their company. It's 11:11. So it's time for our Mincing Rascals segment. You know, I said earlier in the show that we don't normally do politics on our Saturday morning program. And Griffin said, hello, yes, we do. Every Saturday, the Mincing Rascals. And I don't think of this as a political segment, but it absolutely is. It's where we play back part of the podcast called The Mincing Rascals. And The Mincing Rascals are a podcast that I record with Steve Bertrand from WGN Radio News, of course, Eric Zorn and Kristen McQuarrie, and sometimes Scott Stantis from the Chicago Tribune. They're on the editorial board, et cetera, over there. And so we all sit down on Thursdays and talk about things that usually by Thursday afternoon are remarkably dated. And so here we are playing back part of it on our usual Saturday segment. But I think some of these bites still make sense. Two little segments for you today. First, Steve Bertrand has the first answer to the question, why was James Comey fired?
Because he wasn't doing the president's bidding.
The only logical conclusion, I mean,
everything the White House is putting out is not
well,
true.
What they said about his performance was in office when he was prosecuting Hillary Clinton, and, or not prosecuting Hillary Clinton, but looking into her case and what he said about her case and his going back and forth on the emails on Huma Abedin's laptop. All those things were arguably fireable offenses, and they made the case that that was the case. But this all happened last year, in the middle of last year. The fact that he did it now, you know, more than 3 months into his presidency, suggests that there's another motive.
It really is not illogical that James Comey would be fired. The timing just makes it look suspicious. This is more about the timing than the reasons, isn't it?
Yeah, although
you could fire James Comey.
If he fired him on day one, I think we would have been surprised, because ostensibly the reason he's firing him is because he was so mean to Hillary Clinton. But nobody really believes that now.
Right. If you're going to fire him on day one, you're easing into it. During the transition, you're saying, hey, Comey served the country well. We definitely have some issues the way he handled all of this, and we think it's probably best for him to submit his resignation. That's how you do it. You don't wait until the FBI director asks for more resources to investigate you.
Let me read to you what John Cass wrote in the Chicago Tribune. Republicans see the hypocrisy of Democrats, who only a short time ago would have gladly peeled Comey's skin from his back and danced with it naked around some campfire in Hillary Clinton's woods of exile. Now these same Democrats are canonizing Comey as St. James the Martyr, burned at the Trumpian stake.
Well, first of all, that's not even true. No one is canonizing Comey. The conversation is exactly what I've just been saying here, which is that, yeah, Democrats don't have a lot of affection for or use for Comey, but the timing of this firing is what's got everybody worked up. And the way they fired him, too, they didn't check to see where he was, so they ended up sort of humiliating him. He's giving a speech, and he sees on a TV monitor that he's been fired.
Explain
and
to me,
it's
Eric,
a joke.
How this is not Democrats flip-flopping, because Democrats were furious with James Comey on October 28th.
They're not flip-flopping about whether he should be fired. I don't remember too many Democrats calling for him to be fired. But I don't think the stance of Democrats about James Comey himself has not changed. No one is saying, oh, he was a great guy, we really stand up for what he did. What Democrats are upset about, and a number of Republicans are upset about too, is the timing of this. Which is like, okay, if you had a beef with Comey and the way he handled Hillary Clinton, this was all known during the transition and during your first day in office. So why now? And the answers, and Steve has been explaining them, the answers are obvious. He wants more resources. He's closing in on Trump and the dealings with Russia. And that's what this is about. And for Cass or anyone to suggest that this is some sort of hypocrisy on the Democrats' part is appalling.
Okay,
it's ridiculous.
Let me say something that I really hesitate to say out loud because I don't believe we're here. If you are an executive and you fire someone who is investigating you and you fire them because they're getting too close to you, isn't that the definition of obstruction of justice?
That's Steve Bertrand from WGN Radio News and Eric Zorn, who must have interesting cups of coffee when they gather in the columnist offices of the Chicago Tribune with John Cass and company. Okay, so here's soundbite number two. And this is Steve Bertrand asked Eric Zorn when we started talking about state politics. We started talking about the state scene. And so Bertrand asked Zorn, who did Eric think will be the candidate running against Bruce Rauner?
if I had put money on it now,
yeah.
I would put money on the guy with all the money, who is J.B. Pritzker.
Who's running interesting ads.
Running interesting ads. You know, Chris Kennedy is certainly possible.
You're betting on Pritzker?
Well, I'm not putting a lot of money on him, but yeah, I would have to say at this point with all the money he's got. Now, I think Chris Kennedy, with all his name recognition, is number one right now in the polls. But the polls, I mean, it's May, and the primary is not until March.
I mean,
and
Pritzker's already picking up labor support.
These are two really untested candidates who have a lot. Both of them have a significant amount of money. So.
You know how you know if you have too much money? Is if 10 months before a primary, you're running TV commercials. They cost a lot of money.
Yeah, he's putting $1.5 million into that.
Holy cow.
Campaign. This is the Think Big one we're talking about.
Yeah.
Where he comes out and sort
he
of,
looks a little like Chris Christie in his ads.
He does, but, you know, he's owning it. This is the thing. He's coming out and saying, you know what?
It's kind of charming that way. I like that guy.
I'm overweight. I'm not going to try to hide. He didn't wear a suit coat. He doesn't wear a tie to cover it up. He's just
and
like,
when I found out the kids are hungry, I said, I've got to do something about it. Then there's a bunch of kids.
Which he has, I think. I mean, he does, right, have the record of those things.
It's hard to seem genuine when you use kids as the prop and when you're running that kind of
commercial. I don't know who's paying attention to these ads at this point.
Well, John is.
I am. I mean, I mean, normal people aren't like totally geeked out.
Well, John isn't.
There was it wasn't an ad, but it was in Cedar Rapids, Iowa last week. A congressman sat down with the local TV station. So there was Biff Hairdo sitting down in an interview. And they finally got the congressman, a Republican who doesn't want to come home and face the heat, right? And so he says they finally agree to sit down and do an interview, but the governor wants a bunch of children standing behind him.
The congressman?
The congressman, yeah. Yeah, not the governor.
Is he the guy who walked out?
Yeah.
Oh, good, good, good. Go ahead.
So this is it's gone viral, if you will. CNN sure put it on the front page for a while, but there's a bunch of children standing behind him.
So he's one of those guys who's holding these town hall meetings, but to go to it, you have to prove you live in the district.
They're checking IDs.
And, you know, which I can, I mean, I understand that.
Fair enough.
But they're being pretty strict about it. They're checking IDs, so... Biff, as John says, is talking to the congressman and said, you know, well, why are you doing this? And he said, well, I'm talking to, you know, people who live in the district. He goes, well, will you only take money from people who live in the district?
Oh, that's it. And then he just says, that's it. I'm done.
He walked out.
Snaps his thing off. And the kids are like, why? What's happening? We don't even know. I'm in fourth grade. And
apparently some of his biggest donors are from Des Moines, which is not in his district. It was great. Good for Biff. That's a great question.
I think it is, and I think it's fair, and I'm not even sure I agree with the notion. I don't like outside influences, but I think if it's a town hall meeting and I want to go watch a member of the United States Congress talk to constituents, I ought to be able to go to the town hall meeting. And he said several times during that, he said, well, we can only get a few hundred people, maybe 600 people at the town hall meeting. But when we do the tele-town hall meeting, we can get 6,000 people listening in on the phone line. Congressmen right now love the tele town hall meetings where it's a speakerphone and they go, yes, we're really trying to lower your taxes. And then a bunch of people listen in, but there's no chance to throw a chair.
Yeah, well, the campaigns or the politicians' offices get to choose the questions that are addressed as well.
I guess so, yeah. I mean, depending on how they
run. Yeah,
I
think the teletown hall is
it's a cop-out.
Some baloney.
It's
now, the local version of this, to an extent, is Peter Roskam. I mean, we've known Peter for a long, long time, but there's an agitating group in his district that wants him to hold town hall meetings, and he responds by saying, I'm holding these teletowns. And then they've told me they can't get in on those.
I can make an argument that these big town hall meetings can be so boisterous that they're not that informative, that what would might be smarter is to have, like, 30 people in a room and televise it, get, you know, 30 handpicked people, whatever, and have this interaction broadcast, streamed, whatever, so that there is a chance for people to ask the tough questions of the congressman without it turning into one of these things where the people get shouted down. I mean, if you were a congressman, would you want to go and subject yourself to, you know, the kinds of situations these guys put in? I mean, I don't know that I would.
I don't even think that's a relevant question. I don't have to answer that. It comes with the job. By the way, Democrats in your district.
But they have become these extraordinary events. They're no longer, there's no longer people airing their grievances.
Why do you think they have become these extraordinary events? And by the way, are Democrats getting this or just Republicans getting
this? Not this
time, Democrats. Okay, so Democrats got it first. That's how it started.
I think it's because of the president, because they're using these town hall meetings as a sort of representation of how they feel about the president.
But it started more with the Tea Party and the health care reform under Obama. That's when they started being really rough.
Definitely. Was it the summer of 2009 or 2010? Obamacare. That's when the Tea Party was really active.
And they'd stack it.
That's when these town halls became really lively events. I hadn't heard about town hall meetings. I mean, you'd
no.
heard about, but it wasn't.
They, who would want to go to one of those? Now you can't get a ticket,
right? So I mean, and so I think the Democrats and the activists on that side really learned from what happened there and in those meetings. And when you get these, you get great footage. What was Raul Labrador the
he's Labrador right, in Idaho?
So. Yeah, and so he's the one who a woman said, you know, people are dying because they don't have health care. And he said, well, that's crazy. And I understand his argument that people are still being cared for, but what he missed is that the preventative care and all of that, blah, blah, blah.
Well, maintenance care. Yeah, you know, people are not dying because they're not they have to be admitted to the hospital.
Well, that was Newt Gingrich's line.
So he is booed off the stage, lampooned nationwide, and then he announced he's running for governor. He's going to run for
and
governor.
He'll probably win in Idaho.
Maybe, yeah.
But you guys are right. I'll just finish with this. People do come with signs, and they do look, if not homemade, coordinated. And I don't know who's doing the coordinating.
George Soros.
And I don't and I don't know what to do with that, because I think just to say that this is cumbersome, uncomfortable, or loud and raucous is not reason alone to shut it down. Let's close with our recommendations for the week, something we're eating, reading, watching, or listening to. Steve, why don't you go first?
Thanks, John. I'm watching Genius.
And then he went on to describe the TV show Genius. You know, we always close the Mincing Rascals podcast with recommendations, something we're watching, listening to, eating, drinking, or reading, whatever I left out there. And I had a couple recommendations, too. One of the authors of a book that I'm recommending is going to be in our studio, and I want you to hear about this one because it's a terrific little book in a minute. Here on WGN. Pete wanted to jump in here for a second. You're on WGN. What can I do for you, Pete?
Good morning, John. So you played a clip of you guys talking about the firing of Jim Comey and repeated the lie, that the FBI had requested more funds to investigate President Trump when the acting director testified in Congress on open floor on Thursday, I believe it was, that the FBI had not requested the funds. They don't need any more funds, that they are fully funded.
The story I'm reading in the New York Times is he was fired, da-da-da-da-da. Evidence he described Wednesday. Four congressional officials, his appeal described on Wednesday by four congressional officials was made to Rod Rosenstein, the deputy attorney general, whose memo was used to justify his firing. James Comey asked the Justice Department for more prosecutors and other personnel to accelerate the Bureau's investigation. I don't know if that's the same as more money or not, but he testified that he asked for more personnel.
The director of the FBI said no, they did not request more funds, which is what their gentleman was talking about, for the investigation.
Yeah. Well, if they said it wrong, I mean, well, I'm not intentionally spreading lies here. You know, these are fast-moving stories, and we're all having conversations about them. And if we got a fact wrong, I hope you can forgive us for that.
Oh, I can forgive you for it, but it's just, how can anybody get a fair shake when everything is going negative to the beginning?
Yeah.
Everybody talks, it's all about the talk and not about the deeds. And it's just been horrible for the last, 15 years.
What's been horrible for the last 15? What's been horrible for the last 15 years?
Everyone is the reporting has been all about what people say and not about what they do. Hmm. The actions of governance are not what's being kept critical. It's about what people say that is what's kept critical.
Let me ask you one question, Pete.
Sure.
I see both sides retreating to their base camps on this. You know, the Democrats are being all Democratic, and the Republicans, many of them, are rallying certainly listeners and fans of Donald Trump. Rather than be persuaded that something's amiss here, they're all sort of retreating to their side as well. And I think some of us would hope that a special investigator or a special investigation would sort of take the politics out of it and just figure out once and for all what happened here. Do you think we should have a special investigation?
I think we should have a public investigation, and when the truth has been I hate to use the term revealed, but when the truth has been divined, that there's acceptance of it.
Yeah, but, you know, that's the problem, isn't it? I mean, so say we had a special investigation. Who would be on that committee? Who would appoint them? It would be bipartisan. You'd have some Democrats and you'd have some Republicans, I guess, or appointees from those two camps.
Well, that's a problem. It's become camps and not America.
Well, but somebody's got to appoint these people, and that's the problem too, isn't it? That I think if there was one more Democrat on that or one more Republican on that, say, committee, and boy, better be even numbers, then people will say, well, it's going to be drawn along party lines. I don't know how you find somebody that's perfectly neutral in all of this. And I actually tend to think that the media is doing as good a job as they can. I don't fault somebody for, besides, the narrative changes so often right now that what you report today may be refuted tomorrow.
That's the truth. And I don't 100% absolutely positively back President Trump. I don't. I like to think I'm honest enough with myself to say that if he steps in it, he steps in it and needs to be held accountable for it. But on the other side of that street, 90 or 89% of all of the reporting on what he does and says is negative. That can't be true either.
He's got to stop tweeting. How much of this would go away, Pete, if he just stopped tweeting?
None of it. Absolutely none.
It would all go away. If he stopped.
I mean, would the reporting go away about what, you know, for example, the travel ban. He is well within his legal constitutional rights to do it. But all the reporting is that it's about it's not about him reevaluating the restrictions for travel. It's about banning.
No, I don't want to talk about the travel ban, though, Pete. I mean, seriously, if this week the president hadn't tweeted that, think of how much less indigestion this country would have. Think about how much easier Mother's Day lives for 330 million people would be if he just hadn't tweeted that stuff this week. Wouldn't the world have been a better place?
Possibly.
That's all I ask. Just give me that, Pete. It's 11:32. I appreciate you listening, and I'm glad you called. All right, so the Vibe Score segment will come your way in the next half hour. I haven't gotten to those couple of books I want to recommend to you. And what happened with that cyber attack this week? We'll get to all of that coming up after the news on WGN. Veronica, we're about to turn the show, as we always do, over to producer Griffin. He walks us through news, sports, pop culture. It's the Vibe Score segment. He'll tell us things, and then we score them, right? Can you play along with us a little bit here today?
Yes, I would love to.
You know, they're not going to do this at that other radio station you're going to be going to.
I know, it's all seriousness.
Okay. You'll be doing serious news, and then you'll go, I wonder what Griffin thinks of that new song.
Well, you know, I do have to say, I can't remember if it was last week or the week before, he played a song that I had never heard of. And then, like, the second I got home from work, my son said, oh, there's this new song by this guy. I forgot who it was.
This is the value of this segment. I mean, it's really something. I can tell you things that you might expect, but Griffin's always surprising us.
That makes it sound kind of valueless, though. You would have known an hour later. You don't need this.
Well, no, I just felt the connection to you, Griffin.
Oh,
because
I'm
my
glad.
Son said, hey, there's this cool new song. And before that, I'd never heard of this guy.
And you'd probably just given it a 50.
I did. I even told him that.
If you don't know the backdrop for all of this, it's been announced that Veronica Carter's leaving for a competing radio station, the CBS News Station in town, where she will continue to do serious and very, very good news. We will miss her, and we will welcome back into our fold a new guy named Demetri Pongo, who I'm anxious to meet, and will be doing news here on WGN Radio. Some of you know that name and voice in town, and he's going to join our little family. So our best wishes to you. I've got three books that I want to recommend. I'm going to do that before we get to 12 noon. First, Griff, what have you got for us? Just know that I want you. Okay, I already don't like it. Just know that I want you. I'll take the fall and the fault tonight. I'll give you all the love I never gave before I left. Just know that I want you back. Just know that I want you back. Just know that I want you. I'll take the fall and the fault tonight. I'll give you all the love I never gave before I left. I know it's hard to hear it. And it may never be enough. All right, so what are we listening to there, Griffin? That's maybe I was a little harsh or quick in my judgment of it, but you always start us out with a song that you think we should know a little bit about. What are we listening to there?
This is the band Haim.
Haim.
H-A-I-M.
Haim.
All caps if you want to adopt their stylization.
Got it. So H-A-I-M, all capital letters. And that's a new song by theirs. It's a big deal right now?
They're just the three sisters. You've probably heard of them before. Oh. They've been gone for a while.
Oh, I think I do know them.
They made a big breakthrough a couple of years ago.
Are they kind of they've got an odd appearance, a really interesting appearance?
I don't know if I would say that, but they're going to be on SNL tonight. They're coming back with a new album in July.
Got it. Well, I'll let you know if it's the same group that I'm thinking of. I think I do know them.
They just put out a video for another song of theirs directed by the Paul Thomas Anderson. Very exciting.
Are they always that lyrical? Are they always sound like that? Is that a representation of what Haim usually sounds like?
I think that's
like?
What they sound like. Yeah. Okay. Return to form. They're cool.
Fair enough. All right. So Veronica Carter in the newsroom, 1 to 100. What do you give Haim's latest?
I'm going
to
give it a 50.
50? She's not a big fan.
No. See, the thing is, And I should preface everything by saying I don't like pop music. I can tell that they're talented, but I just don't like pop music.
Yeah, that's fine. Hey, girls, they are job. Pretty poppy. Good I thought job. That they were. I was like trying to pick the more upbeat one. I was like they're rocking out, but then I realized no, it's very.
That's just what it is.
It's a little Wilson Phillips sounding.
I mean that
in the highest praise.
I should have asked you to play since I was leaving, like some Ben Howard or something like that. Now that I could get into.
The show is not over.
Memo to self: Ben Howard.
I did think about it. I was like, but shoot, I know she likes rock, but...
But I love Ben Howard.
He's
hip and cool.
He's very cool.
Griff introduced me this week to Kurt Vile. I never heard of Kurt Vile. So then I asked my hip music buddy, Eric Carafa. I said, Kay, have you heard of Kurt Vile? He goes, oh, yeah, he's great. Awesome. And then I start to explain it to him. And he goes, no, I know who he is.
He's probably like, yeah, 2 years ago.
I know. It's like, John, nerd. Other people do know music, so every discovery of yours isn't one of ours. But Kurt Vile, I thought, was terrific. I'm giving this song, though, by Haim, a 62. Griffin says...
82.
82. All right. We'll average those together. That's what happens when you use the Vibe Score app. We'll see what the collective score is. Griff, what else have you got for us?
In the viral category, and speaking of new discoveries that are actually a few years old, I posted this video because it came across my internet. Everybody's internet is different. So sure. I hadn't seen this until now. Maybe you saw it 5 years ago, I think, is when this video came out. It's a corgi running on a carousel.
So no, I have not seen this.
There's this thing in a park, you know, you spin it and you just kind of stand on it and ride. Not like an actual carousel, but you know. Spin the thing and just sort of hold on for dear life, and you can go really fast.
It's a playground, yeah.
Yeah, sure. There's a corgi in the middle of it, or on it, as it spins, and he runs the opposite direction, and barking the whole time. And I guess you guys just got to watch it. It's up on VibeScore now. It's the best thing I've ever seen in my life.
I can envision it. Corgis are adorable, and... That's kind of fun. So is the dog sort of keeping the same place then because he's running one way as fast as it's going the other?
Yeah, sort of. Well, yeah, he kind of makes some progress, though. It's really impressive, too. There's a guy also riding, like going the opposite direction of the corgi, just riding the thing.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes he'll spread his legs so the corgi has to jump over his legs. Little obstacle, a couple things like that. Very impressive.
Go corgi. All right. We do that sometimes. We post videos, viral, we call it, in the viral video section, and we ask you to score them. And it's fun to see which ones people love and which ones they don't.
Or if you just want to score corgis as a breed, I give them 100.
you get to rate it any way you want. What else are we looking at this week?
In TV, Master of None, the Netflix show starring Aziz Ansari, just came back last night, I think.
Oh, really?
So the whole season's out now, season 2.
Oh, they dropped the whole thing. Yeah, that's what they do.
That's how they do it. And then you check your watch 5 hours later, people are telling you about how they loved episode 7 and how it doesn't really get good until episode 7. So just hold on for that. And it's like, well, maybe I don't want to watch. No, that's not actually the case with this one. People seem to like it a lot. But
so what season is this?
Season 2. And season 1 I really enjoyed. I'm a huge fan of him.
It was only season 1? It seemed to me like there were more. Maybe it was a long time ago or there were a lot of episodes.
It was a while ago.
I'm surprised I've only watched one season.
I don't know if you've watched any season. But
wait, what's the show?
Master of None.
Oh.
What were you thinking of?
Masters and Johnson, the one about...
Oh, Masters of Sex.
Masters of Sex. Now, that's a good show.
Yeah, that was... Yeah, that was I don't know lot. What's the deal with that show anymore.
Masters of None. What's that about?
Master of None. Yeah, they all run together. There's too many shows, as we all know.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's hard to explain what it's about. He sort of plays a version of himself living in New York, And every episode is like a short film. It's kind of like Louie in that way a little bit, where there's no overarching story, but it's just kind of about whatever he wants it to be about. And,
and the star of this is who?
Aziz Ansari from Parks and Recreation.
Sure. Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, I'll check that one out, Griff.
Yeah, very good. In sports, we've got Spurs and Warriors, right, advancing to the Western Conference Final.
Yeah.
Who do you got?
Well, the Warriors are going to win it all this year.
You think so?
The Warriors are unfreaking stoppable.
Is Sam here? I can't.
Sam is not here today. He just stepped out.
He would be able to weigh in on this a little bit.
Yeah, he's perhaps more knowledgeable than me. And I'm not like one of these super Warriors fans. I like seeing the game played as well as it can be played by the very best players. They have a super team. Good, and they're hitting. I got them. I don't think any of the series will go more than five games. Final answer.
I mean, this is a well-trod discussion, but everybody thought that last year too.
Yeah,
they did not end up winning at all. I know they added Durant, but who knows? LeBron can do anything.
I know. And they're going up against Superman. I mean, if it was a rerun of last year's playoffs, I'd be totally okay with that. But if you're asking Spurs, Warriors...
Right. It would not affect the way you're going to vote on this question.
I have Warriors 100.
Yeah.
The probability that they'll win.
I have a feeling most people will. But then we've got a Game 7 coming up from the Celtics and Wizards.
Yeah.
And that seems like it could be more up in the air. Who do you think is going to take that?
Celtics are going to win that. And I have that as a 100%
really?
Probability.
Yeah. Why'd they lose three...
Because they were
there.
Bored. Because these things are too long. I think if they want to win, they'll win. Final answer.
All right. In food.
I shouldn't be so dismissive. I love these questions.
I'm going to go with the Wizards at zero just to balance that out.
Thank you.
In the food category, I just saw online a recipe to make your own Shake Shack burger. To make a burger just like they have at Shake Shack, which I'm sure is not actually how it would turn out. I haven't tried it yet.
No.
But it just made me want to ask, rate a Shake Shack burger. Have you had one?
Yeah, I have. Have you, Veronica, had Shake Shack burgers yet?
I have not.
Yeah, you should. That's pretty
good.
Do they
have a vegetarian one?
I think they do.
They may, but don't go there for that. Go there for the meat, for crying out loud.
You kind of look down on veggie burgers, if I remember correctly.
I'm not a big fan.
So, and I disagree with you on that. So I think you should try their veggie. Maybe that's the next question, veggie burgers.
Really? But Shake Shack...
I recently had a discussion with somebody who said it was overrated.
I think it is a little overrated, but it's not bad. I'm going to give the Shake Shack burger 1 to 100, 85.
Right.
How are you?
I'd actually probably go around there, too. Maybe the tiniest bit overrated, but they are delicious.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a burger, first of all. I mean, out of the gate, you're at a 70 in my estimation. Veronica, go ahead and rate it anyway. It's fun. What do you give the Shake Shack beef burger?
Beef burger?
Yes.
I'm going to give it a 12.
Well,
if it were vegetarian, I'd give it like at least an 85.
You'd start there, sure.
Yep.
We had to get one more 12 out of you before you leave.
That is right.
That's right. It.
I think we're out of time. That's the Vibe Score segment. Thank you, Griff. A few things going on in the world, and we like to rate them. It's 11:52 on WGN.